I'm delighted that all of you can join us today for Wide Format, Big Reasons to Invest. One of the things that we've seen in today's market is that signage and wide format graphics have become an integral part of that marketing mix. And it represents a huge opportunity for print service providers to make what I categorize as a big impression. Entering the market or growing an existing business starts with understanding key trends that drive buyer behavior in the market. And what we're going to be doing today is focusing on who buys those wide format graphics, what they buy, and why. And you'll hear from three different organizations about the market forces that are driving their wide format graphics demand, some of the applications that they're generating, purchasing behaviors that they're experiencing, and some of the criteria that buyers have asked them to meet as they make that wide format decision. Now, joining me today, I have three wonderful panelists. The first is Greg Smith, and he's the president of Vector Printing. The second is James DiOrio. He's the vice president of operations at CC West Printing. And John Long, who's the president of Allegra in Castleton. And before we get started, what I would like to do is just make sure that you have some tips for enjoying today's webinar. First of all, if you are having any technical difficulties, you can let us know by using the Q&A box, or you can troubleshoot by clicking the help widget. And if you've got questions, we're going to be taking them throughout the webinar today. And so all you have to do is submit those questions via the Q&A tab. And I'll be asking them hopefully live while the speaker is actually presenting them. And then if you want to see what the console can do, just click on the tips for attendees. Now, in terms of content today, I'm going to spend a few minutes sharing some research that InfoTrends just completed on the wide format marketplace. And then what you'll hear is how they've really taken that opportunity and made it into a market reality at their three businesses, Vector Printing, CC West Printing, and Allegra Castleton. And then I'll wrap up with a few recommendations and conclusions. I think the first thing that we all need to understand is that wide format is an integral part of the marketing mix. You know, it used to be a bit of a novelty, but it's really become an entrenched part of every marketing campaign. For creatives and their clients, including large format signage and point-of-purchase displays, trade show graphics, and event signage, has become part of any campaign strategy. And so what I tell service providers today is if you haven't added digital large format devices to your portfolio, it really is time to consider it. It's a significant growth opportunity, and we actually track the retail value of wide format signage, and it's growing at a 7.9% compound annual growth rate, and our projections are that it'll stay on that trend between now and 2016. The interesting part about large format is that it's an easy process to add to an existing either commercial print business, or if you're already in the signage business, obviously a growth opportunity. And the reason it's logical for commercial printers today is that it really follows a short-run business model. And I can take those digital assets and blend them with the other work that I'm doing for a client. And so it's a nice value-added service and a nice opportunity to expand your offerings for your customer base. Now, there was a study done in 2012 by FedEx Office, and I thought it was kind of interesting in terms of the importance of signage and graphics. But what their study projected was that 8 in 10 consumers say that they've entered a store they never visited before based on the signage. 7 of 10 said that they purchased a product or service based on a sign catching their eye. 3 out of 4 consumers have told somebody about a store simply based on the signage. 2/3 of consumers believe that a store's signage reflects the quality of the products inside that store. And if your signage isn't good, it'll deter somebody from entering. And so when we think about signage and why it's so integral to the marketing mix, there are really 5 key reasons. The first is that it really plays a significant role in brand equity. That sign is an overall image of your brand, and it can help you in the marketplace by emphasizing words or graphics or symbols that are associated with your specific products or services. what I tell folks is when you think about signage, people want to get top of mind. And it's estimated that 85% of a business's customers live or work within 50 to 55 miles, ride by a sign. They're within 5 miles of a specific organization, and they'll ride by that sign 50 to 60 times a month. And so what you've got is an opportunity to build brand equity 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It also plays an important role in marketing support. And so what you want to be able to do is blend that signage with other components of a marketing program. So if I've got a brochure, I can reinforce it with the signage and really reinforce an overall program. And last but not least, signage is an affordable medium. When compared to other forms of advertising, like radio, newspaper, television, and direct mail, believe it or not, signage is the most economical media with which to promote and reinforce the message. And so those kinds of things lead you to say that signage should be an integral part of the mix. When we asked more than 336 wide format buyers what they were buying, and we just completed a study titled Wide Format Printing, a Critical Element to the Communications Mix, they told us that basically the primary products they were buying were banners, posters, signs, decals, photography, and point of purchase displays. And we asked them who they were buying from. And it was an interesting mix. In a lot of instances, it was that general commercial printer who offered wide format graphics, a retail store that specialized in signs and graphics, or a copy business that offers wide format signage. And you'll see and hear from those three different business models throughout the course of this webinar. Now, when we asked them, and I guess when we do surveys, we might want to delete price from the next one, but we asked them, why did you choose a specific provider? And I would tell you that, you know, price is always a consideration. But the other key factors were obviously turnaround time, good service, and quality. And so those three elements are integral to anything that you do in terms of procuring and providing that signage in the marketplace. And finally, we asked the providers, buyers how they found a provider, and they said, hey, it was a pre-existing relationship, referrals, web searches, so that you understand how they're finding you as a service provider in the marketplace. Now, one other component that we explored, and we're seeing a lot of activity around this, is signage blended with cross-media services. And what we did is we asked the service providers, and there were 310 of them that were offering services, if they actually blended cross-media with signage. So that meant QR codes, the ability to initiate an SMS text. And so what we saw was a number of providers are, in fact, actually offering that capability to make the sign part of a cross-media mix. And so what we saw was that basically 38% of them were providing and making that sign an interactive element of a campaign with either a QR code, texting to a specific number, or, in fact, something new that we're seeing, which is near-field communications. We also asked them if those that were providing that capability recommended them, and basically 58% of them said, hey, I actively advise and recommend that my clients make signage interactive. And last but not least, we asked those providers the kinds of things that they did in terms of connecting that printed sign to digital channels. And what you saw was that the second most common mechanism for connecting to a digital channel in the retail market was actually a point of purchase display. And so it says that people are trying to integrate that print component with online channels. And here's an example. This happens to be in an Arkansas mall, and it's called a Wall, actually, and it's an online shopping center at the McCain Mall in Arkansas, where I can actually order lunch from this Wall, which is all comprised of large format signage. I can also take advantage of special discounts, special offers, because the sign actually has quick response codes or text messaging embedded in the signage so that that user can get special offers, discounts, or, in fact, even order lunch. This happens to be another example of a sign that was produced by Calvin Klein, and it was run in locations in Dallas, L.A., and New York, and it was called Get It Uncensored. And when the person walking by the sign on the street clicked on the QR code, it linked to a whole new line of Calvin Klein jeans and a YouTube video. So that's just a little bit of what we're seeing in the marketplace today. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to turn it over to Greg Smith, and Greg's going to share his business model at Vector Printing and talk a little bit about what he sees happening in the signage market and why it represents big opportunity for his business. Greg, take it away.
Thanks, Barb. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Vector Printing. We're a fairly small company in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and my background was for working for a large billboard company, one of the larger billboard printers in the country. And part of my duties there were in production and then later into sales. And I had 13 states that I called on a lot of advertising agencies as well as billboard companies. And what we found was that the agencies were happy to do business with us for billboards, but they were also looking for a printer that could handle POP work and what we just call large format POP type stuff. And we really were not very good at serving that. The billboard business is one thing, and real nice quality up-close work like you see in POP, like for restaurants, and up-close signage is a different ballgame. But the company I was with decided to make an investment, and we started selling quite a bit of POP. But we really just weren't very good at producing the quality and meeting the needs of the customers. So I made a decision in 2007 to leave and start Vector Printing, a little small company, and we started tiny. We had one silk screen press over in the corner of a building I had, old building, and we started, and people kind of had used some of our existing contacts, and people kept coming to us saying, boy, if you guys could do this, we'd buy other stuff from you. So we started investing in some digital printing equipment, little small stuff at first. I mean, small to us is like 60-inch wide. We were used to running 5-meter presses at the big company. But, you know, we started slow. We were just adding some banners. We were doing a little bit of transit shelter type stuff that we were silk screening. And that existing customer base just kept coming back to us and saying, you know, we like what you're doing. The quality's there. Can you do more? And we were pretty lucky. The first year we did, maybe a couple $100,000. The second year we doubled that. The third year we doubled it again. We had to kind of grab the reins and slow down a little bit before the horse ran out from under us. But we've had very good success and don't do a whole lot of selling. We don't do a whole lot of knocking on doors. Instead, we continue to grow with the 30, 40, 50 customers that we have, and the demand just keeps staying there. So that's a little bit about Vector Printing and how it started. We grew from that one silk screen press. This is our sixth year in business, and now we still have that old silk screen press. We do a little bit of work with it, but we have three UV flatbeds that are 4x8, made by Osei. We recently bought an EFI 3225 roll-to-roll 126-inch wide machine that we're very, very fond of. We have another 65-inch UV hybrid that's roll-to-roll and flatbed. So we're running 5 UV presses and 1 silkscreen press, and we pretty much stay busy. We work 5 solid days, about 10-hour days every week, and occasionally we have to do a weekend. We could probably sell enough to run a full second shift, but we really don't want to work that hard. We're a little bit unusual in that we're pretty happy with the amount of business we have and what we're doing, so we're not looking to, you know, radically expand that. What we pretty much focus on here and our business model is we do an awful lot of POP for restaurant people. We work for McDonald's a lot, for several different co-ops throughout the country. We have a restaurant chain that's located in Nashville that's got 585 restaurants, and we do quite a bit of work for them inside and outside in window clings, magnetic for their menu boards. We do a lot of banners for them. I guess that's pretty much, posters, banners, window clings, floor graphics. Then we'd work for quite a few, I guess you'd call them print brokers, where they're selling, transit work, that type of thing. Heavy in Miami, Minneapolis, Chicago, New York. We just finished a big run for New York for a national advertiser that I won't call, whose name I won't call. But we did, the full run. We did two sheeters, which is something you see in the subway posters on self-adhesive. We did backlit styrene posters, transit shelters, telephone kiosks, pretty much everything you see listed on this slide.
Hey, Greg, I do have a real quick question for you. You mentioned that you're doing a lot of work for companies like McDonald's, and you're outfitting a store with signage and point-of-purchase display content. If I took an average, and you may or may not know the answer to this, but if I took an average McDonald's or one of the restaurants that you, what I'll categorize as fit up, how much would they spend on signage at a specific location?
Well, I don't have an exact number for that, but if you look at it, each piece that you see, if you go into a menu board, for example, into a McDonald's, and you look behind the cash register where they're showing they've got several different backlit menu items,
mm-hmm.
They may have 15 pieces there. Each piece is probably a $5 to $10 piece. It's just a piece of styrene that's printed,
mm-hmm.
With a high-resolution UV ink. And so, they're changing that signage out. Typically, some of it will change once a month. Some of them may be there 3 months. But, then you go through the drive-through, and you may have 15 or 20 pieces. And in the windows, you may have 5 or 6 more pieces. So just start adding the numbers up. Go to any McDonald's and just start counting $10 bills, and you'll be real surprised how much it is. And the good thing about it is it's constantly changing. Doesn't do us any good to print one piece that stays up for 3 years. We want to change that out twice a month or 6 times a year or 8 times a year or whatever. That's where the money is.
And then I know the answers, but I got a question, and somebody said, what are bus kings, queens, and tails?
Okay. Well, if you're walking down any big city, just say Chicago, and you're standing on the sidewalk, you'll see this big bus walk ride by, and on one side of it, there's what's called a bus king. It's 30 inches by 144 inches. It's on self-adhesive vinyl, either made by 3M or Flexcon typically. And you print it in two pieces, and, they stick it on the side of the bus. And they're rotating that out about every 30 days. So, they're promoting whatever. You can imagine. On the back of it is what's called a tail. It's like 30 by 42, different sizes, sometimes 20 by 42. And the queen is on where you've got the doors opening. A queen is the same sort of thing. It's self-adhesive. It may be 30 by 88 or something like that.
Okay.
Very common advertising. You see it every day. You just don't really think about it. And those are bought every day by ad agencies throughout the country, or they're bought by the transit company or, Clear Channel. Somebody like that is buying that advertising every day.
Okay.
Lots of it.
That's good. Now, a couple quick questions that came in before I let you move on to your next slide. Do you do any installation, or do the clients and the agencies that you work with get the installation done?
We don't. We print some for some installers. There are quite a few sign shops, if you want to call it that, even in a small town like Chattanooga, 500,000 to 600,000 people. We probably work for 5 or 6 sign shops around here where they're being called on to do that. And then if we get something that requires installation, I don't want to have field crews out there. It just doesn't make sense for us. But you can find those people. They're all over the country.
Okay. And then one other question. You mentioned McDonald's. So how do you secure an account like McDonald's? Was that through an agency?
Yeah, it's pretty tough. The way McDonald's works is 5 cents of every dollar that's spent in a McDonald's goes into what's called a marketing fund. and four of that 5 cents goes to Oak Brook, Illinois, to the parent company to decide how many Ronald McDonald's commercials or whatever they want to run during the Super Bowl or whatever they want to do. But 1 cent, 20% of the advertising budget, goes to the local co-op, and it's usually run by an agency. For example, there's a co-op in Nashville, and they do handle all the McDonald's in Paducah, Kentucky, Nashville, and Chattanooga. And doesn't sound like anything, but that's about 200 restaurants. So if you're doing five pieces, you know, 12 times a year for 200 restaurants, it turns into a pretty nice little account. Well, those are all over the country, and those are called advertising co-ops, and they're handling local market stuff. So it's as varied as you can imagine, and those agencies are all over the country. We work for some big ones that have, you know, Atlanta, Charlotte, you know, Oklahoma City, different markets, and those are pretty tough to come by. But there's little small ones all over the place.
Great. Thanks. I'll let you keep going now. Good insight.
Well, for us, you know, what we found, and part of this is just because my background was in sales and also in manufacturing, the people are not so concerned about price. In the higher resolution graphics that we sell, they're really interested in quality and knowing the market, knowing what the people, knowing their business. We constantly are catching mistakes that our customers, buyers, are making and helping them, you know, are you sure that's what you want? Because here's what you've always bought. So we find that quality and customer service and being able to talk their language is really more important than you know, price for us. Just looking back, clicking up through my slides here, what we – also, it's amazing how fast this whole thing has become. We used to typically, 12, 15 years ago, you know, we had 10, 12, 15 days to do a market. Now we're getting orders, and they're saying, can that go out tomorrow? And you're talking about something that's got a four-hour print run, you know, on a $175,000 machine, and they're wanting me to ship it tomorrow. I got the art, and I got approved at 3 o'clock today. They want that to go FedEx and be at their customer the day after. So we're seeing that all the time. FTP sites, you know, for transferring files, you know, just critical. Nothing moves on a disk anymore, no FedEx, no proofs. Everything's going online. We see it every day. Really impacts our business. So, again, the keys for us are quality, being able to turn the job fast, help them get it done, knowing what they're really looking for, what's going to work for them, be able to suggest maybe a new type of substrate or a better process for them, more than pricing. Most of the people we work for know that if we're not making some decent money on something, we're not going to be able to continue to stay in business, and they're fair about it. I just really don't see price as that big an issue. I guess the biggest thing is, you know, there's just a ton of this work out there, and when you start looking for it, you see it everywhere. If you go to the mall or you drive by any restaurant, it's everywhere. POP is so huge, and it's just real simple to do if you buy the right equipment, you have the expertise. Not always the easiest thing to get there, but, boy, once you're in it, you're like, well, this is a piece of cake. And the margins are so much better than some of the other stuff. I hear some of my sheet-fed guys and small printer friends talking about, you know, just beating everybody up over price. And I'm like, God, I'm glad we're not in that business, you know, because, you know, just there is some margin still in our business, and I hope it stays there.
Great. I have a couple of a few other questions. The first one was, do you do any kind of design service for clients?
We don't. Everything we get comes in and it's ready to print. We may have to manipulate the files or tweak colors or do color correcting, but we don't do any creative at all.
Okay. And then you mentioned and talked quite a bit about restaurants. Are there some other industries that you're doing a lot of work with right now besides the restaurant side of the market?
Well, we do, you know, again, we do a lot of transit work, you know, bus kings and transit shelters and that type of thing. An awful lot of banners. I'm trying to think of big end users that nothing's popping into my head right now. I'm sure we must be. It just...
Okay. Well, thank you, first of all, for the insight. What I'm going to do now is I am going to turn it over to James DiOrio. And James has a very different business model. And if we didn't get to your questions, and I know there's several of them in the queue here, we'll have some time at the back end. James, why don't you tell us a little bit about CC West Printing and Display?
Absolutely. Hi, my name is James DiOrio. I'm one of the owners and the Vice President of Operations for CC West Printing here in Austin, Texas. We've been in business, just to give you a little background on CC West, we've been in business for 17 years now. We started in downtown Austin as a little copy shop. We had a little black and white copier and a little color copier 17 years ago. And we had come out of, or at least my family had come out of, the graphic design world, advertising agency. And after 20 years in that business, they'd asked themselves where they spent all the money, and the money was in printing. So we decided to open up a little copy service provider downtown, and we had a black and white copier and a color copier, and we just kind of found that color was really exploding about 17 years ago. It was just the prices were being driven down where people could use it every day. Digital was turning around fast turn times, and we kind of just became all of a sudden experts at color and kind of started growing that business. So we started growing the color copy business. We got bigger color copiers. We were with the Xerox family at the time. We still are. We're Xerox for our digital printing. We grew that business, and then about 3 or 4 years into it, we got a small little wide format printer, a little NCAD that we had bought, and, you know, we just were doing posters for people day in, day out, just kept growing. You know, every year we'd maybe get a little bigger machine or something a little bit different, and then about six or seven years ago, we really started taking it really serious and really started decided to grow the wide format business. We got a second location because this stuff takes a lot more space, and we kind of blew out 6,000 square feet for the wide format. You can see our picture right there of our wide format side of our shop. So, you know, what we did was we ended up adding laminators, big laminators, board printing. We run an Osei board printer, 4-foot by 8-foot platform. We run two Mamaki printers, which are 63 inches for the transits, the outside graphical work. And our newest device that we've just added was a ViewTech EFI RS3225. I think we're calling it the Dragon, which is a 10-foot, 126-inch wide roll-to-roll device. It's a UV press, brand new. We've had it for 6 months, and it's a great device running it constantly. But what's kind of unique about us is that we started in this color copy space, grew into offset printing, and then grew into wide format. So we've got this kind of unique space where we're doing all three things. So we're doing, you know, our offset is still the biggest part of our business. It's still 50% of our business. 40% of the business is wide format, and 10% is digital. And we're unique in Austin in that there's no other shop that does all three of those things in one place that you can have some one-stop kind of shopping. So that's our story. That's where we were going there. You know, we've been doing this wide format now for 6 or 7 years in a more serious capacity, and we've seen a lot of interesting stuff, you know, come from wide format. We're selling to mostly ad agencies, marketing groups, and directly to customers' marketing departments. In the last 10 years, we've really seen a lot of medium to large size companies bring all the printing in-house to their own marketing departments. And, you know, there's an opportunity there, and it gives you more customers to call on. But at the same time, sometimes those can be hard customers to break into because you got to get through the door. Some of the things we're doing in wide format, banners, posters, these are the simple things that you see a lot of people buying. We get requests for this stuff all the time, every day. Something that's kind of really exploded in the last couple years is canvas prints. We're printing on a lot of canvas, stretching it around wood frames. A ton of trade show graphics. This has been really big for us is adding banner stands, pop-up booths, step and repeat walls, learning about that kind of stuff. There's just so much. There's so many pieces of hardware out there that you can put your banners and graphics into. Of course, you know, we're working with these customers. We're still doing traditional printing, postcards, direct mail, letterhead stationery. I mean, we really try and do a little bit of everything here for everybody, which can be good and bad. You know, we have, you know, we spread ourselves thin where we do so much here at CC West that, you know, it's hard to train new salespeople and stuff, but at the same time, it gives them great selling opportunities. They can knock on somebody's door and, oh, you don't need business cards today? Well, do you need a banner stand? Now, how about a trade? You got a trade show coming up, et cetera, et cetera. So you've got lots of things to sell.
Quick question. How many salespeople do you have, James?
We have three right now. So we're about a $2.5 million company, and we have three salespeople here. So, and we have 17 employees total.
Great. Thanks.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, we work with a ton of substrates. You know, what we're here with this board printing technology specifically, acrylic, styrene, Sintras. We do a lot of unique stuff for customers. We get a lot of customers come in and want something different that no one else has seen. So we'll do a lot of printing on metals, woods. It's all over the place. And when you're the only person in town that can print on wood, you can charge whatever you want for that. So... you know, we kind of have a unique space. When we're talking about POP work and competing on Sintra or styrene, well, lots of people are out there competing on that. So the price, you know, your margins aren't as good as doing this more unique stuff on specialty substrates. the technology that, you know, is out there now with all our technologies, we really have kind of fallen in love with the UV technology just because we can print on so many different things. The solvent printers are great, but, you know, you have to have specialty for, you know, specialty media for that. Printing with UV, I can print on, you know, either cheap banner or nice banner. It doesn't matter. The ink is still going to stick to it. Meshes, plastics, acrylics, you know, anything on the board printer. It's even, you know, we have even more options of flat items. Let me see what my next slide says here. So what we're seeing from clients with their priorities and what they're really out there looking for is turnaround times. It's probably what we're most known for is just turning jobs really fast. We've seen this cycle, just like Greg spoke about earlier, just get shorter and shorter and shorter every year where we are being asked to turn stuff next day, same day. It makes it a little tricky, but – you know, what you know, you do is you price your work to make, you know, make it worthwhile to you. It'd be much easier to say, you know, keep 1,000 sheets of styrene on the floor, but instead we're buying it on demand. We're in a pretty big market. Austin's the 13th largest city in America, so we actually have, you know, multiple plastics vendors to work with here in town, multiple companies that sell banner material, so we can get a lot of stuff same day when we need it for hot jobs. Quality and price are also, of course, important. Nobody doesn't ask you the price before they purchase something. So we're still seeing price issues out there. We've still got to, you know, compete and be competitive in the markets. And, you know, we're pretty – quality is pretty important to us. We'd much rather do every job right than have, you know, 10% of the stuff are out there rejected and do it twice. So we're running everything at the highest settings. Make slower speeds, of course, for turnaround times, but we just really find that the customers are just pickier than they've ever been. So it's just best to run everything at, you know, high pass rates on the machine so that we're getting the top quality work out. Unlike the billboard printing of the world where it's 200 feet away, our customers are going to end up seeing this stuff 12 inches away with their face. So so we have to kind of be on hand for that. We also do a little bit of CNC routing here in the house. We do have a CNC router. It's for cutting simple shapes out of boards before we're printing on it. We literally bought a $10,000 simple CNC router. Didn't spend a lot of money on that. It's not a focus of our business, but it's something customers ask for. Go to the next slide here. I guess we're talking about why CC West. I think our specialty here is just our uniqueness here. Austin's a big print market. There's a lot of companies in Austin. There's a lot of business here. The town's doubled in size in the 17 years we've been here. We've grown to be the seventh largest shop in Austin for, you know, assorted reasons. We like to think we're doing a great job and servicing the customers really well out there. But it's, you know, I think it's our uniqueness. The fact that we can do a little bit of everything for everybody really makes a big difference. We have a mix of customers. We have over 200 active customers, so every day we're, you know, expecting a call from somebody different than the day before. And I think our equipment mix, which, you know, is very unique, is also makes it very flexible for us to change directions. You know, 7 years ago, we were an offset shop only, and or at least primarily, 95% of the work was offset, and then we were able to change directions pretty quickly and kind of shift with the marketplace as it's as both our customers have moved different directions. So I think that uniqueness is will serve us well in the next 10 years as well, because we've got to look out in the future here and see where are we going to go. Are we going to be doing wide format? And if we're not doing wide format tomorrow, what will we be doing?
So. I've got a couple just real quick questions while we're in, because and from the audience. One of the things that somebody asked is, you mentioned that you have a digital side of your business, then you have a wide format side of your business. Mm-hmm. Could you explain to the audience what you mean by that? Because one of them is a cut sheet digital operation. Just explain a little bit of what you do there and both sides of that.
Sure. When we're talking about digital, I'm speaking about cut sheets, 12 by 18 roughly, Xerox prints. So, you know, it's kind of the complement to offset printing where, you know, if you need it today, we're running it digital. You need it tomorrow, well, ink needs to dry, we can print it on offset for you for tomorrow. So in difference than why for everything we do is digital nowadays. I mean, it's hard to just call it a digital side digital anymore because every single file we get in is on disk. There's no copy ready art or anything like that anymore. So the digital for us is running a Xerox 5000 piece of equipment here and small bindery shop that we have up there. Offset for us is running a Heidelberg Speedmaster. We have big cutters and folders that go with that. And then on our wide format departments, our most varied department, we've got five different pieces of technology. We've got ViewTech roll-to-roll, Ose board printers, GBC laminators, Mamaki printers, and what is it? It's a light jet press made by Ose. So
okay,
it's an older piece of technology. Yeah.
Great. And then one other real quick question, and that is when you take a look at the substrates that you're using, you also mentioned canvas. Could you talk just a little bit about the range of substrates that you're using again, and then the canvas print process?
Sure, of course. The canvas print process, we're doing the canvas on our roll-to-roll devices. So we're buying a high-end Frederick's canvas. It prints digitally just beautifully on both the UV and the solvent printer. So for larger runs, we're going to put it up on the big UV press. Shorter runs, you know, one-offs and such, we're going to run on the solvent printer. So what we're doing on that is we're taking customers' files, we're color calibrating it as best we can to match what they're seeing on their screen to our profiles. We're going to print them out on, for in this example, the Mamaki printer. We'll run off a 24 by 36 piece, and we'll leave 4 inches of white canvas around the edge. So then we've got a small little wood shop in the back that we're buying strips, wood strips from. We're making our custom stretcher bars from that, so we'd cut two pieces of 24, two pieces of 36, nail gun it together. Of course, now the next step is stretching the canvas onto the stretcher bars, which we do by hand. It's just as fast as anything. The machines out there that do that, just, you know, they're just not as quick as we can do it by hand nowadays, at least as good as we've gotten at it. We're putting a little bar a wire across the back, and now you've got an art print that you've sold for a really good margin off, you know, a device that didn't cost you that much money. I mean, the canvas stretch canvas prints are just really big right now. You're seeing tons of big national companies selling these things online, but a lot of people just want to work with local companies. They want to come get it. They want to come pick it up. They want to see the first one off, et cetera. So we really like that canvas process.
Great. I'll let you keep going there.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, if you're interested in getting into the wide format market, you know, I've got some recommendations for you. You know, somebody asked earlier, and one of the questions here was, you know, what made you pick which devices, or, you know, what helped you with your purchasing decisions? And I've got to be honest, I go to these trade shows every year, and I really look at the devices out there. I really spend a lot of time researching what's going to be the best fit for me. You know, my most important qualification for my devices, at least in the ones that I've picked, has been quality of the printing, not speed or price necessarily. I've really picked quality devices just because I'm working with so many agencies that we would get a reluctance or a pushback if we weren't producing the top of the line print here in Austin. So I really recommend going to these trade shows, SGIA, ISA. These are two trade shows that you would have great success at, see lots of stuff. You know, realizing that there's tons of the whole other half of the equation, once you get the print out of the device, you're not done with it. A banner needs to be hemmed. It needs to be grommeted. Knowing how to do that, knowing what equipment to buy for that, it's all really, really important. The finishing, banner stands, knowing what kind of banner stands to purchase, companies to work with to buy banner stands, and hardware that you're going to finish this stuff out with. There's, I don't know, there's probably hundreds of vendors out there. We work with 7 or 8 of them that are pretty great. Working with them, really invest in flexibility with the devices. The board printers and the UV printers out there really can print on nearly anything, so you've got an enormous amount of flexibility that you can get with those kind of devices. And, you know, this market's changing, so keep your eye on what's coming out next. See what, you know, what's coming up next year. You know, we stay on the pretty cutting edge. We bought the first, you know, board printer in Austin. We bought the first 10-foot roll-to-roll device in Austin. We're trying to stay on top of that stuff to make sure that, you know, we're first to market, and we kind of get to lay the groundwork for Austin for this wide format business.
Great. Well, thanks. Great story, James. And now I'm going to turn it over to somebody with yet a little bit different business model. And this is the Allegra location in Castleton. And I'm going to turn it over to John Long. And John, why don't you share your journey with large format?
Okay. Thanks, Barb. Greetings from Indianapolis. As far as our background, my wife and I opened up our center in 1986 as an American Speedy Printing Center. We transformed from a retail setting into more of a small commercial business setting in the early 90s, and that is when our franchise offered the name change to Allegra. That kind of led us down the road to where we currently are, you know, a marketing service provider, marketing support. We still offer offset printing, digital, mailing in large format. We got into the large format about 5 years ago. We offer roll-to-roll. We have a roll-in device, and then we have the current EFI H652 that has opened even more capabilities up for us. So the driving factor of us moving into wide format was mainly our customers, and they were bringing us projects that we started to actually just contract out. We decided that it looked like a viable business model. So we started the investment. It complemented our other services. We have found over the last 5 years that's been the growing segment of our business, and the commercial print seems to be a little bit flat. And we've also found the wide format signage business has not become quite as price sensitive. It's it's still competitive, but it still offers some tremendous margin possibilities. So the trade show signage that has started to recover. We're seeing more and more of that in our mix. We are doing a lot of floor and wall graphics. We are involved with some of the local malls, the shopping malls. So they're always interested in, you know, how to attract more attention to their tenants. And that's brought us into, you know, the window graphics, the standard, you know, banners and posters. The vehicle graphics, that is something that we've tiptoed into, and it has taken off. It has allowed us some great growth there. It does offer a little bit more complexity as far as the installation, and so we actually hire a professional installer to help us with that. We are heavily involved with event sports signage. A lot of the running races are very popular, so we have created a little bit of a niche in that area. We have developed another niche in the commercial real estate, doing a lot of exterior signage for that. That's another industry that has started to recover, and we're getting more and more involved with that. A lot of our business-to-business current customers, print and mail customers, obviously we have done very well with them. Our biggest thing as far as we had to learn how to look at other markets, such as retail. We were so used to just talking brochures and direct mail pieces that we had to kind of coach ourselves on talking, you know, point of purchase and whatnot. So we're still in a, I would say, a little bit of a education mode on learning that. We do a lot with banks, especially, you know, lobby signage. Banks are always looking to how they can present themselves in a manner of promoting, you know, their products and whatnot. So we've been very successful in getting involved with them, as we have with churches.
Hey, John, I have a quick question for you. You mentioned that you have people that help you do the installation, that you're not staffed to do the installation. How do you go about finding an installer?
Mainly just, you know, networking, talking to our vendors and our suppliers. They have led us to, and we have found that there is, installers seem to specialize in certain areas. And, you know, we have one installer that primarily helps us with, you know, our vehicle graphics. Another installer that goes out and actually, you know, installs the large real estate signs, you know, digging the post and whatnot. So mainly just networking within the sign industry.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Yeah. What we're really, you know, kind of learning too is, you know, our clients are looking to us for, you know, new ideas. And, you know, from they've just bought a new building and they want to do some exterior signage to promote themselves, you know, to the interior lobbies and whatnot. So they have come to us because of the reputation we had with them prior with, you know, the print and the mailing and whatnot. And a lot of them are you know, running a little bit thin, you know, people-wise, and they're just looking for a one-stop solution. You know, many of them have just told us, you know, I don't have time to go out and get bids from, you know, everybody. So, you know, I think if you can understand the process and understand their pains and offer them solutions, it puts you at the top of the list. You know, we found quality somewhat varies. Quality is always important. But we found in different projects, there seems to be a different hot button. The indoor signage, the point of purchase, quality is very important. The people are a lot closer to the product. So, you know, that requires a little bit more of the higher resolution, I think, as Greg said, and whatnot. The exterior signage, obviously, durability is most important. You know, people are spending money. They don't want it blowing down. They want it to last, you know, for multiple years. The event marketing turnaround time is very critical. That's being driven by, you know, the race is coming up this weekend, and we got new sponsors, and so we need new sponsor signs. We need banners and whatnot. So, again, it has helped that we have the relationships with these people and can offer many solutions. So. As far as recommendations, the support network, I think, is key. And, you know, obviously our support network is, you know, the Allegra franchise system. They've offered a tremendous amount of training for us, helping us with the equipment purchases. And then we have a local network of suppliers and vendors and whatnot. So every project seems to offer, you know, a little bit of a different nuance, and so you have to kind of reach out to different people that specialize in you know, the medias and the substrates and installation and whatnot, and having these conversations up front in a project really helps down the road, because you can get, you know, into a project and then realize, you know, we're going down the wrong path. So I think Greg or James might have mentioned the space requirements. You know, we have found it does take a little bit bigger footprint than, you know, just our digital equipment. We have tried to open up our facility. We have 8,000 square feet, and the sign portion of our business is kind of taking over more and more as we grow. Knowing your customers, being prepared to help and navigate their needs. Again, we've found just having, you know, the upfront conversations with them has been very important with some of the larger projects, just from the point of, you know, what do they want, what is the end result, and what is the most efficient way to complete the project.
Okay. Well, now I have a list of questions, and so I'm going to ask all three panelists to respond to a number of these. First of all, just a reaction from all of you, is G7 certification important to your customers, and are you G7 certified? And since, John, you just got done, I'll ask you the question.
We are not, and to tell you the truth, it has not come up in any of our conversations with our clients.
Okay. James, how about in your case?
We also are not G7 certified, and I get asked a couple times a year, but I don't usually lose business over it.
Okay, and same question for you, Greg. What about in your case?
I don't even know what it is.
Okay, well, that's there you go. All right, that helps. Okay, now another question is, all of you sound like you're doing some level of work with some agencies. If you haven't worked with an agency in the past, what would be your advice in terms of moving in that direction? And, Greg, I think you talked the most about working with agencies, so I'm going to pass that one to you.
Agency people are as varied as you can imagine. There are people who really know the business, who know what they're buying, who are experts at it and probably know as much as you do. Then every now and then you find somebody in an agency who knows how to buy a magazine ad or a print ad, but they have no clue when you mention POP or large format. They are lost. And if you can be their little savior so that they don't lose face in front of the people that they're working for, boy, you've hit a home run.
Okay. Now, let me ask you one of the the big question is this large format stuff, the question came in is what type of ROI calculations are you using to drive purchase decisions for devices? But I guess the big message is what you have today profitable for your business, and how long did it take you to get the return on investment? And I'll start with John on this one.
We're probably newer to this than the other two guys, when we found we had to make some adjustments just from the projects from the labor standpoint, and that's really what kind of guided us to the EFI 652. It took a tremendous amount of the labor calculation out of it. The turn time was obviously, you know, getting very important. And I looked at my return on investment was 18 months on my EFI.
Okay. And, James, I'm going to ask you the same question.
Sure.
Everybody's got different complements of equipment, but, you know, is it profitable, and how long does it take you to get a return on a piece of large format equipment? I know they're all varied and different, but just a
sure.
rule of thumb for what you've been through.
General rule of thumb for us is 12 to 18 months. We're looking to return our investment on that piece of equipment. But it really depends on whether it's finishing equipment. Finishing equipment takes a lot longer to pay off because you're just not – getting paid as much for the finishing work versus the printer. And the other thing that we've done is, you know, we usually find the work first and start brokering it out and then bring it in. So we already know we're going to have a certain amount of work to make sure that we're going to be paying for that equipment right off the bat.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we seem to be able to pay it off a little faster than I think maybe the average person could.
Okay. And Greg, how about in your case?
We're also in about the 12 to 15 month ROI. Our substrate and ink cost last year ran 22% for substrate and ink, and we really manage our labor very tight. I used to tell the people I worked for in a big company when I was running their manufacturing, if the presses are running and your dumpsters are empty, you're making money in large format because you've got nowhere to hide anything. If you're shipping good quality product and you're printing it all day long, you're making money.
There you go. Okay. A couple of, I think both Greg and, all of you have flatbed and roll to roll. I lost track here. But what percent of your work is flatbed versus roll? And I'll ask that question first of Greg.
Well, we're probably a 60% flatbed and 40% roll to roll.
Okay, and same question for James.
We're almost split evenly down the middle.
Okay, 50-50. And, John, I missed the equipment complement. What is your mix in terms of are you all roll to roll?
No, we're both.
Okay.
We have both the roll-to-roll. I would say our roll-to-roll is probably 60% and our flatbed's 40%.
Okay, great. Now, next question. What's the impact of all of these online providers on your business? Do you see, you know, that as an important offering in the sign side of it, and does it have an impact? And so I'll start with James on this one.
Well, I think it's a huge impact. I mean, customers are getting educated easier. There's wide format people online every day, new ones coming on into the market every day, and they're doing a good job. You know, they're getting customers educated. Now, are they making the best product? I don't think they're actually produced. I think they're trying to get things turned around faster and cheaper, whereas, you know, we're kind of trying to make the best product out there, and I think we can sell on that quality. At the same time, we're using the same techniques that we do a lot of marketing online. We get, you know, a lot of our new business comes from online opportunities.
Okay. And same question, and I'll ask this one of John.
Yes, obviously it has had an impact. We've seen it, you know, on the print side too. Really, I think where we see the client is when they need, you know, consultation. They need somebody to come out and look at their building or look at their event or something like that. And, you know, that's probably not a service that, you know, they can find with the online providers.
Now, this question is for Greg. Greg, we see restaurants moving from conventional signage to LED and LCD technologies. What's your perspective on that? I have my own unique one, but what's your perspective on it?
We've seen it come, and we've lost an account or two because of it, and we anticipate that's going to continue. There is a pretty good size investment to go to LED, so you know, I think it's going to be. It's going to take a while, but Burger King is already there, and McDonald's is beginning to make a shift there. So I think it'll continue to come that way.
Okay. And one last quick question. I've got a couple of wrap-up comments. But if I'm a commercial printer, and this is a bit James, and I'm going to direct this to both James and to John. If I'm a traditional commercial printer, what level of investment would it take for me to get into the wide format market?
In dollars?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Dollars, a little bit of space, I think.
Sure. You need a couple thousand square feet. 2,000 square feet would be the minimum to put one of, you know, a flatbed printer. And if you were just entering the market, I would recommend a flatbed printer, something that has UV inks. It just gives you the most amount of flexibility. And those devices are $160,000 to $200,000, you know, for starting devices that I think would do a great job.
Okay. And John, what's your perspective as more of the quick print side of the market?
Well, we started off probably a little bit smaller, obviously, and tiptoed in it. You know, we bought our roll-to-roll at first and then grew into the, you know, our laminator and all the equipment. So, you know, we probably had a, you know, $75,000 investment at first, then grew into the flatbed. Square footage-wise, I have to agree, it's probably about a minimum of 2,000 square feet.
Okay. Great. Well, I'm going to wrap up just with a couple quick recommendations and conclusions. And what I really appreciate in terms of perspective from, you know, James, John, and Greg is that, you know, they've taken, I think, a pretty good strategic path to grow their business. A piece of it needs to be operations driven, and that's I've got to deliver the best speed or turnaround time, quality, efficiency. I've got to deliver sustainable solutions. But then to really thrive, what I need to do is I also need to blend that with new products, new services, new customers, and new business models. And what you're seeing from our panelists today is that not only are they doing a good job at operations, but they're also doing a great job at innovation. And so if I'm a commercial printer or even if I'm in the sign business, it really is at a point where the technology, including quality, speed, range of applications, can be addressed by digital. You're seeing in the sign side of the business buyers that are demanding, and I think you heard that over and over again, shorter turnarounds, shorter runs, versioning of signage for specific markets, and more relevant content. And so the big thing you've got to look at is it's becoming an integral part of the overall marketing mix. But as I take those same signs and I blend them with text messaging and quick response codes and augmented reality, not only is it a part of the marketing mix, but it's going to be a part of the overall cross-media mix to get customers to move to online channels. And so I'd really like to thank everybody today for joining us. We're right at the top of the hour. We'll go back through the questions that you've asked. If we didn't get to them, we'll try and get back to you via email with a response. Thanks so much, everybody, for your time and attention, and thanks for the sponsorship. Take care. Bye-bye.